I ask you to take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. Remember, we began this study in 1 Kings last week, taking a look at the end of David's life, his earthly life, I should say. We know that he still lives, amen? But he's getting here to the end of his days on this earth, and we saw his aging last time and said, you know, there were some things that took a toll on David's life. I mean, he lived kind of a tough life. Some things took a physical toll, like his years of shepherding and the years of conflict and warring and the years of being on the run from Saul. And then we saw how some things in David's life took an emotional toll. Those times when he was guilty of sinning against the Lord, and he didn't take immediate actions against his sin and confessing those and forsaking those. So he had guilt and stress over unconfessed sin. He had grief and stress over sin's consequences in his life, those consequences that he was reaping in his family because of his sin. And then we saw that he allowed his servants to talk him into doing something in the world's way. He was growing cold, and his servants talked him into seeking out an attendant. We know that it was not God's will for that to happen. It didn't do any good. You know, when you do things the world's way, it's not going to turn out well for you. And then we see the ambition of David's son Adonijah. When we were leaving last week, we saw how Adonijah exalted himself and said, "I'm going to be king." Now, he knew that Solomon was going to be the choice of his dad. And we see that David had failed to properly discipline his child here, and he didn't say anything against Adonijah whenever Adonijah said, "When I'm going to be king," when he exalted himself, David didn't have anything to say about it. Now tonight we want to pick up in verse number 7, and we see some self-seekers here. We see one self-seeker being helped by two other self-seekers. I mean, Adonijah is a self-seeker. I mean, he's exalted self and said, "I'm going to be king." But he had some others that were helping him here. In verse number 7, it says, "And he conferred with Joab," talking about how Adonijah conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. So he got these two fellows helping him. And says, "But Zadok the priest, and Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaniah, and the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not." And we'll leave off reading there. We'll read a little more later. But we're going to see how all this self-seeking is not going to end well. You know, whenever you seek for self, we ought to be all about God's will, hadn't we? Well, what does the Lord want in our lives? And when we get, even in our own lives, when we get selfish and say, and think it's all about us, we get in trouble with that. And that was true in Adonijah's case. But also, I want you to notice here how Joab, the captain of David's host, is still consistently seeking his own self-interest. Joab, as a self-seeker, he was one of the ones who made decisions based upon, you know, he'd stick his finger in the wind and see which way the wind was blowing. And that was the way he'd go. You know, whichever way he thought was going to turn out best for him, he had that kind of mentality. And that'll eventually get you in trouble, as we'll see later in his life. But Joab was attracted to this false king because Joab was flawed in his own character. And he didn't ask nor care what God's will was in this. He didn't say, well, you know, who does God want to be king? Well, you know, Solomon was God's choice. It wasn't just David's choice. It was God's choice. And Joab was all about Joab, though. And David here is almost dead, and he probably viewed Solomon as being weak. And so he aligned himself with Adonijah. And then we see Abiathar. Abiathar is also a self-seeker. Now, let me remind you that, you know, we've seen Abiathar before, and he's the one that we saw in 1 Samuel 22, who escaped and fled to David in the cave of Adullam when, remember the name Doeg, the Edomite? Doeg, the Edomite, he slew his father and 84 other priests. So Abiathar slipped out of that, and he didn't get caught up in being put to death himself. But they were killed by Doeg because of their allegiance to David. And I mean, you think about this, I'm wondering if there was any carryover from that, that Abiathar is maybe kind of blaming David a little bit, that, hey, my dad died because King Saul thought that dad was on your side. But you didn't have any indication of this before, but you kind of wonder, after so many years, if maybe his idea has changed on this. But Abiathar was also the one that went back to Jerusalem when, if you remember, when David first left Jerusalem during Absalom, when Absalom was coming after him, and he heard that Absalom had the upper hand, and he left Jerusalem because he didn't want Jerusalem destroyed. Remember that? And so there were some that went with him that carried the Ark of the Covenant, and when David fled from Absalom, David asked Zadok the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant back with his son Ahimaaz and with Abiathar. So Abiathar was one of the three that went back with that Ark of the Covenant. But we see here that as joint high priest with Zadok, he broke with Zadok. Zadok was on David's side, and he conspired with Adonijah. So there's a split here in the high priest. We see that in verse number 9, it appears here that this group of rebels offer somewhat of a sacrifice to possibly try to make a coronation of Adonijah official. And we see that Adonijah there in verse number 9 says he slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. Now, maybe it wasn't a sacrifice. I don't know if it was. You know, if you sacrifice for the wrong purposes, it ain't right. It looks more like a feast to me. That's what they had. He killed all this and fed guys a big meal and trying to get them on his side. But just understand that trying to seal a wrong action with religious ceremonies, if that's what it was, does not make it approved by God, nor can it make it God's will. Just as labeling something as Christian doesn't make it Christian, you know? It doesn't make it Christ-like, and it doesn't make it approved by the Lord. We know that many people who claim to be Christians are not Christians because they've never been truly born again. Except a man be born again, he's not going to see the kingdom of heaven. Many so-called churches are filled with religious people who are not born again. Now, any activity or entertainment or relationship with a person that contradicts Bible teaching and or principles is not God's will. And here we see that Adonijah is going against God's will. He just really is. And these folks that are adhering to him, that are clinging to him, they are causing themselves hurt because it's not God's will. Remember that God will never, ever lead us to contradict his word. Never. I mean, you go with what God says. And God has already said that Solomon is the one to be king. Now, I want you to think about this in relationship to joining up, being unequally yoked with folks. We know the 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" I don't know if any of these guys that were called over to Adonijah's side, whether they were true believers or not. If they were, something should have went off in their head, say, "Hey, this ain't right. I'm parting out of this." But you know, it's true in relationships today. You think about whether it be dating or marrying or going into business partnerships with unsaved people. You know, that contradicts God's word too. And it's not the will of God for any believer to do that. And in the years that I've been in ministry, I have seen people who thought they knew better than God. And they would not pay attention to what God says, that, hey, you don't need to be jointly yoked up with an unbeliever, and they would do it anyway. And guess what? It didn't go well. Some of them are still paying today because of things that they did that were against God's way. And they have had to bear the consequences of their disobedience for the rest of their lives. Now we see in what Adonijah did here in calling these certain ones, like Joab and Abiathar, we see some of the others that were called there, but there were some that were excluded, and we see the exclusion of some key people there in verse number 8 and verse number 10. Look at verse number 8, but Zadok the priest, okay, he got one priest on his side, but Zadok didn't go. And Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men. Remember, we just looked at the mighty men not too long ago. We looked at what made them mighty men. Now, Joab was the only one of the mighty men to go. But the rest of the mighty men, they didn't. The mighty men which belonged to David, they were not with Adonijah. And then down in verse number 10. It says, but Nathan the prophet and Benaniah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother, he called not. So he didn't even bother calling these folks out. I know who they're going to side with. They're going to side with Solomon, and so they didn't even call them out to this occasion here. Now we see Solomon and his supporters are conveniently left out, and obviously, by doing that, it shows that Adonijah knew that Solomon was the one that was favored to be on the throne by dear old dad. But it didn't come from dear old dad. It came from God the Father. Amen. The Father had told David who was to be king. We've already seen how that God told David to crown Solomon even before Solomon was born. He called him by name there in 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 9 and 10. I'm not turning back again. We looked at that last week. But if you want to write it down, 1 Chronicles 22, verse 9 and 10, God called Solomon by name before he was ever even born and said, "He's your son Solomon, he's the one that will follow your reign." Also, David had made a promise to Bathsheba about Solomon. Now, why did he make that promise? He made that promise because he knew what God told him to do. And so, look down to verse number 17. Down to verse number 17, and this is, we'll see here that Bathsheba, she said unto him, "My Lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne." Now, how did David know assuredly that was going to happen? Because God told him. Listen, what God tells us in Scripture, we can bank on, can't we? You can bank on it. It's going to happen. He said, "Well, what if one of them guys had killed Solomon?" It wasn't going to happen. When God said he was going to be king, he was going to be king, right? And so we need to understand God has a way getting his will done. Now, understand there's nothing to indicate here that this was kept a secret from other people. There's nothing to indicate that David tried to keep his secret, Bathsheba tried to keep it secret. In fact, the circumstances of these particular folks being left out shows they knew what was happening, but they weren't cool with it. And they wanted to do their own thing. So Adonijah Knowing this truth, he tried to usurp the throne by proclaiming himself as king. And he doesn't invite Solomon to the feast because he would have been bound to protect him by their laws of hospitality if he'd invited him to the feast. He's got Solomon in his sights. But listen, Solomon is in God's sights. And being in God's sights is much more important than being in anybody else's sights. And I want you to note two key points at this juncture here. Number one, just as Adonijah avoided inviting the rightful king to his banquet, many today are guilty of similar things when their attitudes, actions, or activities are rebellious, selfish, or sinful. When you go against God's word, you're being just like Adonijah. It's what you're being like. People know what the truth of God's word says about who is supposed to be king and lord of their lives. Amen? Who's supposed to be king and lord of your life? God, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of folks that don't want the Lord Jesus Christ to be king. I call the shots in my life. That's how they'll do it. You know, I call the shots in my life. They want to be the one to call the shots. So what winds up happening is that people grieve the Holy Spirit by their selfishness and by their stubborn disobedience, and they ignore God's word, and in doing so, they ignore God's best for them, God's way for them. And you know, God's way is always best. God's way is always best. Now, a second thing which you see is don't be surprised if this world does not want you around or shuns you because of Christ's righteousness in your life. Many unsaved people are not comfortable in the presence of a godly Christian. And some are going to hate you, what you stand for, or hate the Lord. In fact, Jesus said in John 15, verse number 19, he says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Just understand that you know, you're not always going to have everybody on your side just because you love the Lord. And listen, one thing about our righteous living, when you try to live right, it's a source of conviction in other people. You know, when you're living right around other people, you know, they get antsy because they know they're not living right and you're making them look bad. You're making them look bad. 1 Peter 4:14 says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Now, other people may consider you a fool or a nut. You know, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 10 to 13, Paul said, we are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Being defamed, he said, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Last thing I want you to see here is found in verses 11 through 14. We see the counsel of the prophet Nathan. God gives us a man of God to understand what he wants in our life. Look at verse number 11. It says, wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. So this is the counsel of Nathan. And really, this is a picture of prayer. What he's saying is, we need to talk to the king. That's what he's saying. You know, whenever you're wanting to do something and it looks like something, things are not going your way, what do we need to do? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. And when all prayer is talking to the Lord. And so they're going to talk to the king. And use the king's own words. Okay? That's the second thing. What were they going to do? Go in there, king, you know you said this. What are we doing when we pray? Lord, in your word, you said, this is what you said. And Lord, we're going based upon your word. And then go to the king with others going and agreeing. I mean, they were going to go in agreement, weren't they? We see how that Bathsheba was going to go in, and in comes Nathan, and they're going to come say the same thing to the king. You know, here in a minute, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for these needs on our prayer list. And as I pray, I trust that you'll pray. And what we're doing is I'm praying, and you're praying the same thing, just like what we see here. And the difference here is that David didn't know what was going on. But listen, our Lord always knows what's going on, don't he? He always knows what's going on. And so let me ask, you know, are you under the stress and guilt of some unconfessed sin that can possibly affect you physically and cut years off of your life like David was? We need to minimize, like we said last week, minimize by seeking God's forgiveness. And then are you living for yourself or the Lord? Adonijah was all about self. And then we see that Joab was all about self. And how that the other one's all about self. Are you exalting yourself above God's will? Stop before you suffer a terrible fall. We're going to see these fellows. It's not going to end well for them. I mean, we're just a chapter or two away from this having an effect on their lives. So just remember that when we humble ourselves before the Lord, if we'll stop and humble ourselves before the Lord, He'll lift us up. Amen. He'll give us the grace that we need. We need to be about the Lord and serving Him. And if you're a child of God, but you're not already serving Him, you need to begin that right now. Amen. All right. Let's set that aside. That's our Bible study for the night. And I mention again, as we come together on these Wednesday nights, the most important thing that we come together to do is pray. Amen. We focus upon the prayer list. I don't apologize for taking most of the time up reading the prayer list and taking requests and reading the needs of our missionaries. Don't apologize one bit for that, because that's really the main thing that we're about here on these Wednesday evenings. We do a little bit of Bible study, but we respect your time too. Amen. All right, let's pull out about the prayer list. Let's pray for the needs, and we'll be done here tonight.